This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, a Joy 94.9 podcast. This podcast was made possible with support from the Community Broadcasting Foundation. To support the production of content like this, donate at cbf.com.au.
The Informer's executive producer, Toby Halligan, has been looking into some of the freedom of speech issues that haven't been receiving as much media coverage.
Thanks very much, Nicholas. So while many in the government and the media have been choosing to frame the Israel-Folau saga as a freedom of speech issue, and many are proudly raising their flags to defend the principle that ours should be an open society where unpopular views can be publicly expressed, the reality is Australia is increasingly becoming a society that actively suppresses and repressives free speech. And compared to the amount of media coverage that the Israel Folau has been receiving, a lot of these stories just don't get picked up by the media. So to take just one example of them, freedom of information is the means that journalists and members of the public can access documents that politicians and government departments use to reveal how they've used, how they've made decisions, who they've met with, what kind of companies have lobbied them. And increasingly, there is evidence that a number of government departments, some at the highest levels of government, are actively frustrating and suppressing efforts to release these documents. There was a report just yesterday in The Guardian that the Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet in Canberra has been engaged in, and these complaints were raised, by the way, from inside the department by literally FOI officers who work professionally in these spaces, that there were efforts to stop documents from being released. And the kinds of documents that we're talking about are things like the diary of the Chief of the Navy, for example, who's recently made a $4 billion decision about, you know, a certain kind of defence system that we should be purchasing. Rex Patrick has been seeking documents to find out what kind of companies he was meeting with, and basically FOI officers are arguing that these documents aren't relevant or that they should be redacted and the information not released. Another practice that a review within the Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet has found is common is that the department will intentionally delay the release of documents for up to 6 months to stop it being a story. Now, that is an intentional breach of the intent of those laws, basically. And I've got to say, it's something that's happening not just at a federal level, but also at a state level. There's other problems, though. Australia is increasingly cracking down on whistleblowers. Right now, a gentleman who revealed that the ATO was engaging in the pursuit of debts that was potentially leading to people committing suicide, and that often the practices they were using were unethical, that they literally involved taking people's money without actually investigating the circumstances that those people were in. A whistleblower who revealed that story is potentially facing 161 years in jail. There's another whistleblower who was part of the intelligence services who revealed that laws that were passed to help the intelligence authorities investigate terrorists in Indonesia, these laws were passed just after the Bali bombings, those laws were used to spy on East Timor when East Timor and Australia were engaged in very complicated negotiations about oil and gas reserves. Right now, that intelligence officer, who basically revealed that his own department was breaking the law, and his lawyer are being charged with crimes, and they're potentially going to face years in jail as well. Another example from literally yesterday is defamation law, is something you may have heard about. There has been a case in New South Wales where Dylan Vola is an Indigenous man who was mistreated within Northern Territory's prisons. You might remember the image of him lying on a seat with a spit hood over his face. They were really, really frightening. He is suing a number of media companies because those companies covered the stories and posted those stories on Facebook. And beneath those Facebook posts, a number of people commented, and people made racist and offensive comments and a lot of clearly defamatory comments. What a judge in New South Wales has found, though, is that those media companies are responsible for people's Facebook comments on those posts, which in and of itself is possibly a reasonable decision on the merits of it, but potentially the implications are that if you post something on Facebook and someone comments on it, you might be responsible for it. Like, it's just not clear. But the larger problem is that Australia's defamation law system is completely broken. It's designed to protect the rich and the powerful because it's almost impossible to mount a defamation lawsuit unless you have millions of dollars. It costs about $500,000 to run one, and it costs about $500,000 to defend one as well. And when you look at the kinds of people who tend to win these cases, it's people like Tony Abbott, like Joe Hockey, like Peter Costello, like Clive Palmer. It is the rich and powerful people who are often targeting journalists, or they're targeting people who are actually revealing things that they have done, who have perhaps used slightly incorrect language or things along those kinds of lines. So while there's been this kind of ongoing debate around Israel Folau, it is notable that all of the people who are defending his freedom of speech don't seem to be speaking up in these other cases. And I think, Nick, as you were saying before as well, like, when you actually look at the traditional definition of freedom of speech, what's happening with Folau doesn't necessarily meet that, does it?
No, what a lot of people sort of fail to understand is that freedom of speech, as it's defined, sort of as it is enshrined in the US Constitution, because it's actually not enshrined in ours, protects against government censorship and government intervention on people's ability to speak. So a case such as Israel Folau, where it was a private company who decided to terminate his contract. So they did not issue, I suppose you could say they issued a punishment by terminating his contract, but there's no, he wasn't dragged into a court, he wasn't, you know, made to pay a fine, he wasn't, you know, he wasn't had any additional things. It was just a company decided not to continue to work with him because he outspokenly expressed points of views that were contrary to the image that the company wanted to present. And so that in and of itself is not a free speech issue. If, say, the government stepped in and said, you're not allowed to say and punished him for saying something, that would be a freedom of speech issue. And the fact that the Israel Folau story is, you know, as high profile as it is at the moment, is sort of a distraction. Like, it's done almost, you know, strategically and in bad faith. I would argue that the ACL, the Australian Christian Lobby, knows and is aware that this is not a real free speech issue, but they peddle it anyway because it suits their agenda to claim that it is.
Yeah, and we can kind of debate whether or not companies should be making those kinds of rules, etc. I think that stuff's a fair debate. You just kind of wonder, when all these people are talking about free speech issues, where they were when a week ago the Australian Federal Police raided the homes of multiple journalists, and the stories, the ABC and News Corp respectively, the stories that those journalists had revealed related to Australian soldiers potentially murdering civilians in Afghanistan. And in response, like, when they the AFP investigated the home of a News Corp journalist, they literally went through their underwear drawer. Like, the kind of that is a free speech issue. Like, that is deeply invasive. And we can debate, and during the show today we actually speak to a number of people who have different perspectives on the Folau case, but I really think the larger framing of this as a free speech issue is deeply disingenuous. And as you were saying, it unfortunately it ignores the realities of what having free speech suppressed is, but it also just means that all these other quite important issues are being covered up. But but Nick, there's been some better news, isn't there?
Well,
from New York.
It's interesting with this philosophical debate around freedom of speech. Often the actual impact of the comments are forgotten that they can have on the community, which I think is very similar to some of the debates playing out in the US around this week's World Pride and the 50th anniversary of Stonewall. Almost 4 million people are expected to descend on New York City this weekend, and cities around the world will be paying homage to the 1969 protests against police harassment. There's celebrities including Madonna, Cindy Lauper, Whoopi Goldberg headlining the official celebrations, and there's sponsorship from more than 70 corporations. But there's a growing group of activists criticising the corporatisation of these events, and in a similar way, the freedom of speech argument in Australia is forgetting the actual community impact. Mm-hmm. There are some claiming that the corporatisation of World Pride in the US is forgetting the grassroots, liberatory, queer origins of the movement. Mm-hmm. Reclaim Pride in the US is planning a rival parade in New York City this weekend called the Queer Liberation March, which is going to be completely free of celebrities and corporate sponsorship. Mm-hmm. If you want to hear more about the events planned this weekend and Reclaim Pride's work, head to joy.org.au. There's a few podcasts there. Mad Wednesday's Dean and Robbie interviewed icons of New York celebrations, and Worldwide Wave explored the pushback against corporate pride.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.